You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
Welcome to B-Rant. That's a name that we've given the show simply because it's a name that we had on a previous show. If we can think of something better at some point, we will let you know. But today, we are having discussions around several issues. Our segment will consist of a week in review, some life lessons, advice for younger you, did you know segment, and then a nice conclusion with some final thoughts. Today, you're speaking with Brie North, who will be here and be your host and partial narrator. We also have Sydney Aldridge. Say hi, Sid.
Hi.
We have Ariel. Ariel, I got to get your last name.
Bowman.
Bowman. Oh, that's fancy. Ariel. I did say Brandy North. Aria Bowman, who is also here with us. We have our two millennials. They're in college. They're living their best life right now. Okay? Before Sally Mae gets a hold of them. So then we have, and then finally we have Tiffany Means. Tiffany Means is here. She is our expert in all things. I don't even know where to go with that. She's our life expert. She's going to be here. She's going to be here guiding us the way. She's our voice, our voice of reason, or mine in my past. So it's great to have her input here today. So I want to get started by doing a week in review. This is our hot topic segment, people. This is where we talk about what's going on in the world, what's going on in hot culture, what's going on in politics. I'm just going to throw out some topics there and get some feedback from you ladies to see where you guys stand on it. So this feedback is going to go from college students all the way up to working professionals and all the way back down. So our first hot topic for this week in the week of review is Nike. I want to take a minute and talk about Nike because Nike has been all across the news for the last week. Colin Kaepernick, I don't know why I couldn't get that out, was selected for Nike's 30th anniversary to be the face of it, the Just Do It campaign. It was a reflection on the origination and of the phrase Just Do It. And he was selected for a 2-minute commercial in which there featured several athletes that were defying the odds. And there was a lot of controversy around Colin being selected simply because of his past and known for kneeling, which was very controversial with the president and several other people. So I want to take a minute to see if you ladies, A, saw the ad, and B, what you thought about the ad. So let me start with Sid. Sid, what you think?
So I didn't see the ad.
Yeah.
I thought the ad was awesome to me. Inspirational. Everything good. I mean, I don't see why everyone's mad about it, really, because, I mean, even if you are on the other side of, you know, the political
table,
I think you can still get something from the ad outside of Colin Kaepernick, but, you know, that's just my opinion.
Okay. Ariel, chime
and
in.
It's a great opinion.
Yeah. I love this therapy she's getting. Ariel, what do you think?
Yeah, I agree. Honestly, the ad, I feel like people wouldn't be as offended and they wouldn't have so much to say about it if you just took out the name Colin Kaepernick.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Like, the ad was meant to be inspirational and his input was very small. Like, it was just his face and his afro and I guess what he stood for, mm-hmm. which really is, you know, just to be an inspiration and to stand up for what you believe in. Mm-hmm. And I feel like people want to be offended by things so badly mm-hmm. that they took things to the extreme. But literally, like, if you just took his name out the ad and took his face out the ad, people wouldn't even be able to tell the difference.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I'm still going to wear my Nikes. I mean, of course.
You're
not
burning them, huh?
Oh, no. I'm going to buy more. I'm going to buy more. Because, I mean, I've always been with Kaepernick anyways. Mm-hmm. But I think people were just blown out of proportion. But honestly, it's just going to make Nike more money. So I have no problem with that.
Well, yeah. Nike, it was a strategic move. It was always a business move. I don't think it was ever them taking such a stance where they would jeopardize what they're in business for, and that's to make money. So I think it was a very strategic plan. Why? And they looked at it from the short term stance and the long term stance. So, Tiff,
Yes. So I thought the ad was wonderful. I enjoyed watching every minute of it. And the takeaway of it was excellent. And at the end, he asked something like, don't ask or don't care if your dreams are crazy. Ask the question, are they crazy enough? Mm-hmm. And I think that's excellent. You need to be dreaming big always. That's something I would tell any young person striving to do better. And the message also was to embrace the negativity that you receive from other people and turn it into something positive, turn it into good energy. Don't turn it inwards. Don't care if they say that your dream is crazy. Is it crazy enough? Is it big enough? And then you just go for it. So I love the ad. I appreciate and respect that it came from Colin Kaepernick because he knows about standing up for things in the face of adversity. And when it's not advantageous to his pocket, it doesn't matter. You do what is in your heart. And I love it.
Yeah. And I mean, I concur. Well, what you said, I think what the takeaway for me was that you have to believe in something enough to sacrifice everything, which is what he's become the symbol for. I mean, and there's two sides to every coin. What I will say is what I know about Colin is Colin, even in his professional football career, he wasn't one of the greatest. He wasn't one of the highest paid. So with that respect, Colin did sacrifice his football career, but what he's also done is created a legacy for himself that he would not have had otherwise. So while I said to everything, there's a good and there's a bad, because now he's made himself a lifelong household name regardless. That would have never happened for him at his status in football. So he took something that he believed in, but when you do that, the sacrifice always turns into a payment at some point because it's bigger than you. And I think the commercial really drove that home. I really love how they highlighted various athletes around the world. The young man, I don't even remember his name, that was 16 years old and he was a refugee and he became on the national team. Serena from Compton. I mean, people
that...
football
player with one arm.
Yeah, the wrestler with no legs. Like, as you really sat there, you really thought, I need to get my life because he's out here wrestling with no legs. That's what you... I mean, that's what I was... I was like, it just... It was just so inspirational in that. And my thing is, as Americans, we should be able to see beyond the bickering to something that's bigger, because essentially we cannot survive. Our survivors intertwine. It's more than just one race. It's more than just one individual. So I thought that was really, really cool. So thank you all for that Nike feedback. And I want to say shout out to Nike. I appreciate you for supporting such a positive and coming up with such a positive message, especially in your influential position that you're in with young people. All right, guys. So, speaking of positivity and influence, let's segue to Cardi B, right? So, everybody knows, and if you don't, I'm telling you now, New York Fashion Week is underway, one of my favorite weeks of the year, yay! And Cardi B and Nicki Minaj apparently had an altercation yesterday at one of, I think it was the Harper Bazaar Icon Party. And there was an exchange in which something was said. It has not been, you know, defined clearly as to what was said. But Cardi B was expressing that Nicki Minaj said something about her child and her ability to mother. And from that turned into an exchange. Now, allegedly, because that's what I heard hear Charlamagne say, so I'm going to say it too. Allegedly, Cardi B went to address Nicki Minaj regarding these allegations. This would be her third time, according to Cardi B, that she's addressed Nicki face-to-face regarding allegations. And as she attempted to address Nicki Minaj, there's two versions of this. There's security fended off Cardi B, hitting her in the forehead, elbowing her in the forehead. And I did see the knot on her head.
Oh,
that
wow.
has been publicized. Another story, which I heard, I've seen on social media, is that a mutual friend or a friend of Nicki Minaj, Ra Ali. Yes, Ra Ali was the one that kind of got in and was going to face off with Cardi B on Nicki's behalf. So whichever one is true, the point is Cardi approached Nicki. Nicki's team, someone, elbowed or hit Cardi B, causing a knot on her head. Mm-hmm. And Cardi B had to be escorted out of the party. So I just wanted to get some feedback on everybody. What are your thoughts on this Cardi and Nicki Minaj situation we have going on? I mean, because Nicki's been running her mouth about a lot of different people. So some people say she had it coming. Some people say it's completely inappropriate regardless.
Well, my personal opinion is that it was inappropriate for Cardi B to behave like that in New York Fashion Week. You shouldn't do things like that. However, Nicki Minaj did have it coming. Nicki Minaj has been hype since her album came out. She's been talking so much, you know, crap about Travis Scott, Kylie Jenner, the little baby Stormy. Who can't even defend herself. She talked about little baby Stormy.
What she said about Stormy?
She blamed Stormy, she blamed for, Stormy
for her album flopping.
Stormy?
Wedding didn't flop,
but. What? Stormy rapping? I didn't know that.
Yep. She came for Stormy.
Wow.
So it's like you come for people that you know don't want smoke with you. You came for a little baby. Yeah. You came for Miley Cyrus on the VMA stage and asked her what's good. Miley, what's good?
Wow.
When someone comes to you and wants, you know, smoke, you don't want to go there with them. That's my problem with Nicki Minaj. Right. Like, she's so hype until somebody gets hype back with her. Now she want to, like, back down and get security. That's not right.
Right now she's unbothered.
Right, like, now she, all of a sudden she's unbothered, but she's been bothered all month about Travis Scott, Kylie, and Lil Baby Stormy.
But has she been bothered about Cardi?
Yeah, she tries to act like she's not, but she throws little like jabs and stuff like that behind the scenes.
Okay, so my thing is this: I mean, you're in the entertainment world. So many things are going in your favor. The fact that you've just found success in this world, are these jabs worth this type of confrontation?
Well, I mean, in the world of celebrities, things like this won't, you know, destroy a career. Like, this only makes, you know, the spotlight go on the celebrities more.
Okay.
So, I mean, I don't think, if anything, Cardi B's street cred is going to go up. She already has a lot of it. She's not going to, like, lose her fame. I mean, her Nicki stan, the Nicki stans are going to try to attack her, but then Cardi B is going to get a fandom of her own because people are kind of, like, starting to see, you know, both sides. And, like, I'm not really a person to pick sides and identify with fandoms, but, like, Nicki Minaj was saying it's on site, but when she saw Cardi B, it wasn't on site.
Right. Well, it was on site for her team. They were ready.
No, but she said it was going to be on site with her, like, personally. Oh, so, like, you hiding behind a team and security and stuff like that. Talking about, I'm staying right here. I'm staying right here.
Right.
No, there's that a looks lot of, weak. Like,
okay, so did we expect her in the moment to step up to Cardi B and actually fight? Like, it was not the time nor the place. Did we expect that?
No, I didn't expect it anywhere. I mean, that's the only type of events that you'll see Nicki out at are, like, big mainstream events. You won't see her.
You can't catch her in the
hood. You know, she can't catch, because Nicki doesn't be in the hood. She hasn't been in the hood since she was, before she was famous.
Yeah, that's
and
true.
She's not the same person she was back then, so she doesn't have, you know, that's not in her. And, like, coming from a person who's not a fighter, like, I'm not a person. Personally, I'm not a fighter. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to go out there and scrap with people. But I'm also not going to say it's on site and pretend to be like I'm about all the stuff. And if I'm not.
It, but see, and that's where I get a little, it's a little perplexing to me. Because you're right. It's not going to affect her fan base. In fact, it might increase her popularity with some, I want to say, everyday people. However, you're at Fashion Week. I mean, it was just an article a couple weeks ago about Cardi B, about how fashion designers don't want to lend her clothes. They don't want her to wear their stuff as much. So she's very loyal to, like, Fashion Nova because they backed her in the beginning where others would not let her wear their merchandise. So the question is, now we're allowing you to wear our merchandise and you're in our clothing and you're at Fashion Week and yeah, it's cut up. Like, you cut up in our $20,000 dress. Like, you're cutting, you're throwing Manolo Blahniks across the room. Like, you're cutting up.
So, having only known what you told me since we've been sitting here over the past 3 minutes, because I'm a little bit out of touch with that situation, the only thing I have to say about that is that these are two powerful Black women who have a large influence in the Black community, and I feel like they need to do better. I don't know what beef they have or what they need, you know, what the real issue is, but they should not be acting like that. They need to do better. I mean, that's sure. As another sister that's somewhat on your level, I mean, I don't understand what the turmoil is about, what it has to be about. You don't have anything to prove to your Black sister. It should be more of an embracing thing and, like, let's help uplift each other. I don't need to fight with you and be ghetto. Like, come on.
No, Nicki has been the one taking jabs. So now let me clarify.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Their sister's of color. Now, Cardi is not Black.
Yeah, she's Latina.
Yeah, she's Latina.
Well, she
looked
like it's me. I
didn't
know.
Well, Black,
I mean, Latina. You know, they're sisters of color. So, I mean, I think there's definitely should be some unification there. And there's family in that. Everybody sees
Nobody's
it differently.
Black? Neither one of her parents?
No.
Are
Cardi B is Latina. Right. Yeah. So, but I do think they should be more unified and have a unified front. The problem seems to be, the catalyst seems to be Nicki's need to come for people when she is not as successful as she deems she should be.
Yeah, she need to stop.
She does. I mean, well, my thing is she need to focus on
the music.
She
wants to be the only one. That's her problem. She wants to be the only one that's like at the forefront or the only one that's getting any type of attention at all.
Exactly. Yeah, when you take your eye off the focus, off your focus, then you entertain a lot of other BS and a lot of other distractions. Right. She needs to keep her mind focused on what her goal is and forget about what everybody else is doing because it's irrelevant.
Yeah.
If you are truly great, you will shine regardless.
Exactly. And this is true. Now, her thing, when she was making her album, there was a lot of hype around Cardi B. I think that shook her, that threw her off her game. Her album was not what I anticipated at all. I was a Nicki fan, but this last album, I don't even bump it. Like, I don't play it.
I didn't even hear it.
I know, exactly. But you hear Cardi in constant rotation. So I get where her, that just fed her insecurity even further. So she's looking for a way out, but the way out is the music. That would be my own thing to Nicki. It's the music. If you stay focused on the music, none of this matters. It's all irrelevant. Right. So, I mean, I hope that these young ladies at least come to a place where they could be respectful, because we have to wrap up Fashion Week and we don't need any more fights in the name of people of color. So let's keep the focus. Keep the focus.
I feel like only way Nicki will do that if she stopped being a hater. And she's a hater right now.
She is a hater. And this Queen Radio is not... It's helping not the situation at all, because all she do is get on there and just start talking about people. That's all she does. She's been talking about Travis.
I just, you know, it's Nicki just going to have to find her way back to what really got her successful in the first place, and that was her not even her lyricism. Honestly, it was her ability to make songs that caught everybody's ear. Mm-hmm. And like right now, all she wants to do is make songs that talk about people, and she wants to be problematic and throw jabs at people until she stops being so angry and so bitter and stop being so lonely. And she's not going to get anywhere.
I mean, I'm not with that because Meek is in prison.
Wait a minute.
She's in prison by her thing.
Meek is out. But she put Meek back in jail. You know how hard Jay-Z and Kevin Hart do work?
I didn't know they got him out. Meek too. How long has he been out?
Like a couple months.
Yeah, Meek's been out a few months at least. Not only that, she left Meek months before he left. A year before he left.
Yeah. She was with Nas and everything.
Oh, no. I'm so out of touch.
People out here working and not listening to the news. Get their money, right? All right. So, speaking of Fashion Week, we have, has anybody heard about The Loft and their fashion show? You know, Ann Taylor Loft and all that other stuff. Have you heard about their fashion show?
No, ma'am. No.
Okay, so let me give you a little background. Tell me what you think about this. We know that we live in a top-heavy society when it comes to social media and people buying into images and things looking a certain way. Mm-hmm. Well, The Loft wanted to go a different direction this year, and they did CurvyCon, okay? It's like Comic-Con, but CurvyCon. I don't know how I feel about your name. But what it was is they selected real-life women to be their models. They did.
I love the idea. Uh-huh.
I mean, I saw some of the images. They were real. They were real life thick women. They was Sister Big Bones, but I don't know if that's what's out right now. I don't go to Middle America a lot. I like the coast. So in Middle America, maybe that's everything.
You live in Middle America.
Well, we are in the Midwest.
No, I'm sorry, in the Midwest. I mean, yeah, we're in Detroit. But this is the thing about that. What I'm saying is, when I talk about Middle America, I'm thinking about Idaho, Wisconsin, and all that. The Midwest has a heavy influence to me from the East Coast. When you look at Detroit and Chicago and Indianapolis, I'm talking about those places that you're like, who lit there? When somebody black lit it, you're like, for real, they lit there? That's what I'm talking about. So they did CurbCon, and they selected, I would say, models about size 16 and up to be their actual models for Fashion Week. So, I mean, what are your ladies' input? Like, I think that we should definitely
have
their images.
I love the idea, but I didn't see it. Was it tasteful? Was it good? Or was it just horrible?
I mean, well, it's Ann Taylor. It's The Loft. It's clothing like that. So it's not like it's high-end fashion.
Well,
so you're seeing them walking down the street in Tom Ford.
Let's see what's happening.
But at the same time, what I do say is it's positive for young girls to see varying images of how women look.
Right.
Okay? But what I will say also is it's a piece of me, and this is probably a piece that needs therapy, that like to see people that look good in clothes. Yeah, the one that kind of, don't whisper, you gotta say it to the world. No, just,
can
said,
I see it?
She said they a little too big.
Oh.
But it's not.
Let me see. Mm-hmm. I mean, they don't look bad. That's only one image that I see, but I like the idea of it.
Right.
I love the idea of it too.
Their clothes are not cute in general.
But this is my thing. See, you said they look too big, but that's the point. The model world says, am I messing up your image?
Yes.
The model world says, the modeling world says that a size 8 is too big.
Oh, no.
We're sitting here and we're saying that these women are too big. So everybody has their cutoff point.
It's not that the women are too big, but I'm not going to lie. When I looked at it, it looked like a plus size magazine. And that's fine, I suppose, but...
You suppose?
I guess because that I don't think there's anything wrong with being thick. Absolutely not.
Is that thick?
But, and here's where I'm going. I don't think there's anything wrong with being thick, and I actually appreciate the curvaceous shapes. But I think there is a threshold when you cross over to, like, it looks... Like, really unhealthy. Like, it's hard on you to move.
Marshmallow Man.
Okay, I didn't say that. You did. But when it gets to that point, I don't know if that should be celebrated. It should, of course, be accepted. You are who you are. I'm not saying, you know, you should shame these people. But I'm not really all for the party when you know, look very unhealthy. Like, at any moment, you can have a heart attack.
Okay, but what about those people that look that way from your eye, but they go for a checkup and they're in good health? They just fat as hell.
I don't think that is the tip top health shape. I don't know that you can be quote unquote fat as hell and be
but
healthy.
But you can have decent blood pressure. Yeah, no
sure. But at some point, that's going to catch up with you. Any doctor that certain women see where they look like they're going to be obese, they're going to ask you. Well, you should think about losing a little bit of weight.
But obese, according to that meter, is not very high.
No.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah. I mean, but morbidly obese.
More. So you go. Why are you fat shaming today?
I like it. Here's one reason why. Like, okay. I understand her point. Like, you don't want to celebrate something that's not healthy. Like, no one wants to celebrate drug addiction and morbid obesity. But I feel like the only way for things like that to be accepted or, you know, not drug addiction to be accepted, but for people to understand it and to not, you know, treat people who deal with those type of things in a mean way. The only way for people to get their mind around it is to kind of show it off.
Right.
You know, in fashion and exposure. True. Because I feel like people, like, let's say we were back in, like, the 70s or something where it was really, you know, popular to be thin. Mm-hmm. And you have somebody like that who wants to be a model. And let's say they're even my size. Mm-hmm. And I think I'm a moderate size. Mm-hmm. I'm, like, a size 16. Like, I would be, you know, probably fat shamed seen as a fat, you know, pig or mm-hmm. whatever and, just, you know, be teased. And, you know, people who actually have, like, regular, like, body types, I'm not unhealthy. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not shown in the media so that when people aren't taught to... You know, to see it as okay.
Yeah, kind of way.
Right. Those individual people, they have their own personal battles to deal with, like weight loss and having to maintain their health.
This is true.
The media isn't responsible for each individual person. It's responsible for the whole to be accepting. And the only way we can do that is to show it off.
I agree.
Say, like, this is normal. Like, there are people who are like this, mm-hmm. and you know, mm-hmm. it may not be 100. It may not be for you, or it may not be 100% healthy for them. But they actually exist and they can look good too.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
If they want to feel good, that's up to them to, you know, eat right and, you know, to lose some weight. If, you know, they're like 7,000 pounds, you know, but
I think that's a great perspective.
That is. It makes it hard for me to follow up with like some type of asshole comment. So I won't.
Thank you. Yes, good.
I'll leave it at that. Okay.
No, I'm not sensitive to the subject though, because I'm not morbidly obese, but I
think. No, we don't think that.
No, but even so, Ari, I wouldn't guess you were the size you just said you were. I think it all goes back to imagery. And I think that's part of the problem in judging it, because you could be a certain size, but if it's situated in the proper manner,
then you don't,
like
right,
up top, smaller, yeah, middle,
absolutely.
Then it doesn't look bad. Like my right. shape can't carry a certain amount of excess weight. I don't want to look like an Oompa Loompa. Do you know what I'm saying? So I have to.
No, I mean, that's true.
Yeah,
that's
different body types, you know,
carry it differently.
Because if you're someone who's very curvaceous, they can weigh, you know, 250, 300 pounds.
Right, and not look bad at all.
Yeah, as long as they have
me
a flat stomach.
It's all in my stomach. Right. Look at that.
Like, that's the main issue.
Like,
with
girl,
plus
you're 44
size,
months pregnant. So yes,
going straight to my stomach.
Yeah, and that's what the thing. Yeah, we do have a stomach thing in the family that I'm not going to let happen out here. Okay. So all right. So on that note, speaking of what the Loft did with CurvyCon, we're in Fashion Week. I wanted to dive into a topic: Dapper Dan and Gucci. So, for those who don't know who are listening, as well as for Tiffany who's about to Google the subject, Dapper Dan is a fashion designer. He had a store in Harlem in the late 80s and all the way through the mid-90s. It was a very popular store. Now, the story behind Dapper Dan is he was a clothier, I hope I'm saying that right, in Harlem that dressed several famous people from LL Cool J, Salt and Pepper, Fat Boys, many of the rappers. Dapper Dan's store was shut down in the, Dapper Dan's store was shut down in the 90s due to Mike Tyson getting in a fight in front of his store. And what that led to was Dapper Dan had seen Louis Vuitton and Gucci and other designers, and he had seen their logos or their images, right? he decided to create fashions based on Gucci and Louis Vuitton's logo, using their logos. So they were essentially knockoff clothing. So Dapper Dan is one of the people who was a frontier in starting the monogrammed clothing, where you see LL and the Gucci job, like that type of thing. So that was, he was one of in the forefront of that. He created a lot of that stuff bootleg before Gucci and Louis Vuitton, et cetera, was actually creating some of that stuff. When Mike Tyson got in a fight in front of his store, it made national news. And Gucci and Louis Vuitton found out what he was doing and some other designers, and they sued him.
Okay.
They sued him, and it crippled his store, and he went out of business. And he was underground for several years just doing some different styling. In the last year, Gucci and Louis Vuitton, I believe, released some designs that were strikingly similar to the bootlegs that Dapper Dan had created.
Oh, no.
Yes, nope. They did. Right? Louis Vuitton had no response, but Black Twitter went crazy about the design that Gucci had created that was identical to one Dapper Dan had created. So they essentially went back and took the bootleg design.
Oh, so can he sue? Because that's what I would do. I would sue the socks off, get his business
working with them. Now. Let me tell you, but this is what happened. When Black Twitter went crazy, Gucci reached out to him, and they're giving him his own line.
Okay.
They've decided to partner with him.
Oh, good.
That was their response. Yeah. Louis Vuitton didn't really give a damn. But Gucci has decided to partner with him. So Dapper Dan, along with Naomi Campbell, are now coming out with a line together. All right. And it's based on Dapper Dan's designs. My question to you is, I mean, honestly, how do you feel about the situation? Louis Vuitton did not respond. Is that wrong that they stole his bootleg designs? Or was it just wrong that he bootlegged and there was no credit in it? Or is this something that happens every day to Black people in fashion or people of color in fashion? Like, any thoughts on it? I mean, because this particular story seems to have ended, okay? But I'm 100% positive that this has happened before in some way or respect with respect to ideas being taken from people either of color or people of lesser influential status and just not getting any love. In fact, that was one of the rants that Kanye had, I believe, when he was lucid about the about the fashion industry. So what do you all think about what Gucci did? What are your thoughts on this?
So it happens every day that we don't necessarily get credit for the things that we do. I don't think that's a new phenomenon, even in the music industry. Mm-hmm. Going back, you know, certain soul songs, yep, or mm-hmm, that white artists might produce, the background for that or the impetus for it would be, you know, something that a Black person did and they didn't get credit for. So that's definitely not a new phenomenon. Now, in the case that you just described, because I knew nothing about it before you started speaking, we have a tendency to take something and make it better always. Mm-hmm. Okay. We improve upon it. And it's just unfortunate that a lot of times we don't have the resources and things to make it our own from the beginning and do our own thing. But if you ask, the question was specifically about, was he wrong to bootleg? Yes, of course.
Mm-hmm.
You shouldn't do that. But he did it, and it was so magnificent that I just could have hoped that he could have did his own thing. I love now that Gucci is giving him props for that and allowing him, you know, in on it, because it's beautiful. He's increasing Gucci's bottom line, and he's an asset to them.
He will.
And so I think that's a beautiful combination. Mm-hmm.
Were they wrong for trying to take it from him? Because they did not intend to have this partnership initially. It was
Were wrong for trying to take it from him.
Yeah, they didn't acknowledge the greatness in the beginning. Talking. They could have partnered like 20 years ago and we wouldn't even be talking about it. That's true. Go ahead.
No, I mean, they were wrong for taking it from him. Absolutely. Well, I don't really have any.
Bottom line.
They were wrong, Gucci. From. They knew where those ideas came from because you said they sued him, mm-hmm, after that. So you knew where it came from. And then you turned around after you sued him and took the idea.
Yep, they did.
Like, that's clearly wrong.
I guess it was a free idea since he wasn't supposed to have them in the first place.
Right.
No, that's wrong. That's biting off of the creativity. You have to give compensation for what you take. And right. So that's why I say, yes, in the beginning, Dapper Dan was wrong. Mm-hmm. But then when they found out how lucrative it was and they went to make it themselves, well, then you're wrong now because you're not giving back to the stores.
Yeah. Okay.
So.
All right, thanks for chiming in on that, lady. Okay, so we have just a couple more things that we're going to hit on real quick, and then I want to get ready to move on. Question, Alex Jones and Information War. So Alex Jones is a talk show host, a radio talk show host, who also has a website called InfoWars. He's also very present on Twitter and other social media sites as well, Facebook. He recently, he's an extremist, a white nationalist. He has some, and a theorist, and his theories typically are unfounded or not, you know, as I would say, proven, no factual proof behind them. He is known for saying the Sandy Hook school shooting was a hoax. CNN is in is part of the CIA, and that was set up by Obama. And he has recently been removed from most social media sites. So Twitter is the last social media site to remove him. They removed him this week. They closed his account down. When they closed, because of some of the extreme stuff that he says, when they closed his account down, he went on a different account and Twitter went gangster and told the other account, anybody who promotes him will shut your down too, essentially. They just like, we'll shut it all down, okay? Like, he's not going to be on our platform. You put him up, we shutting you down, okay? How do you, he, his most popular most popular tweets are, unfortunately, retweets. He has 18 extremely popular retweets that were made, 18 that made the millions. And 13 of his 18 were from President Trump. So he's a huge fan of President Trump.
Oh, of course.
Of course.
No
yes.
surprise.
So my question to you is, hey, even though he's clearly crazy, see, let's just call a spade a spade. And even though he's speaking pure nonsense and rhetoric that can't be founded in reality to some, you know, to a grave extent, what are your opinions regarding Twitter shutting him down? Because he's screaming that's an infringement on his First Amendment.
Oh, it's about time they did it. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's not the first person who speaks out about some crazy stuff, regardless if it's like, you know, left or white, right wing. He's not the first person to get shut down on social media sites, whether it be Twitter, Facebook, and everything like that. So the fact that he is like complaining, like, oh, they're trying to, you know, get rid of my rights or whatever, like, you know, and I'm not even going to go on a tangent because we could talk about Donald Trump, the United States president, not my president, and how he likes to get mad at people for speaking their rights, but then, you know, says he should do what he wants. Like, because I think currently something happened recently where a book came out about Trump and everything that happened.
Woodward wrote a book,
Yeah, and he wants those people who are anonymous to come forward.
He wants an investigation. He wants Jeff Sessions to conduct an investigation into the who wrote the anonymous statements about him in the book, in the essay.
So they can be penalized. So, I mean, it'll be very, it's really interesting.
I don't think he knows what anonymous is.
Really? Sorry. Right, like, there's a reason why they didn't come forward with their names. But, I mean, so it's just like, because when you say InfoWars, I'm like, oh, yeah, is that crazy dude? Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like it's about time that he got removed from platforms because now he's not only just saying things that are, you know, like supposed to spike hatred and anger.
Divisive,
Yeah, like divisive and inflammatory words. He's also like saying stuff that literally makes no sense. And it's like, at this point, you're just going to cause panic.
Yeah.
And people who actually listen to you and believe you are going to believe that panic is only going to, you know, bring forward like violence.
Right.
And that's also against one of the amendments in the Constitution. You can't say things that will cause panic and chaos. You can't like yell fire in a crowded room. So that's essentially what he's doing. So that's probably why he got removed. And he doesn't understand that. So he's talking about his rights. He has none in this sense.
Okay.
Because he's abusing.
So we don't think it's a dangerous or slippery slope to stop what people are saying.
I do.
Yeah, okay. I do as well.
Okay.
Free speech is free speech.
Okay.
Now, but I'm so okay with Twitter taking away his right because Twitter is a private company. I mean, if I don't want you on my site, I don't want you on my site.
Okay, so
you can have free speech, just do it elsewhere, not on my company's dime and on my place. But free speech is important; it should be honored.
Yeah, but if social media sites remove him, then where is he?
He can find his own.
He can set
himself
his own website.
Nobody's stopping you. Yes, do your own thing, but you're not going to do it here, sir.
Oh. Good day, son.
That's what Twitter said, basically.
Right. That is what Twitter said. Okay. All right. All right, ladies. Thank you for chiming in. The last thing I want to say in our review of the week is congratulations to Ayanna Pressley. If you have not heard, she has become the first Black woman in history to represent U.S. Congress for the state of Massachusetts. She was recently elected, and I just want to say congratulations to her. I'm very proud of the United States. Despite all the adversity that we're facing, the divisive rhetoric that we constantly hear, we are shattering records with voting for and placing people who are outside the quote unquote norm into our Congress. So we have black women being elected. We have a transgender that was elected. And we're just, we have a Hispanic congresswoman in California that was elected. So, you know, I know that we're constantly inundated with nonsense, but as a country, holistically, our heart can be in the right place. It's just the negative is what always hits the light. So I just want to say congratulations to these wonderful senators and congresswomen and men who have been elected to office for the first time in history as their ethnicity, race, gender, and et cetera. Congratulations, and I look forward to seeing your work.
Congratulations.
All right.
That's really great.
Yes.
Awesome. All right. We're on to life lessons, people. All right. Let me tell you something. I think one thing that's really missing in our society right now is having those discussions about what you learned and telling the next generation what they need to know. We don't have big mas. Big mas are not 35. I'm a big ma, I guess. Right? So grandmas are getting younger and younger. You don't have that presence where you have generations speaking to the next generation anymore. So I wanted to take a minute and do something called life lessons. And life lessons is the opportunity for you to reflect, because if you don't reflect on what's happening to you or what has happened to you, and you don't find the fruit in that, the lesson in that, then you are going to repeat that. It's just like geometry. If you don't get those X plus whatever down, you will repeat the course. So I wanted to take a minute and look at life lessons. Okay. So, is there anyone that wants to start, or you guys want me to jump in?
You start.
You want me to start? Okay, so life lessons. I'm going to tell you right now, one of my life lessons that I want to give to, I guess it would be y'all, because you all would be the generation after me. I'm not actually a millennial. Tiffany is a millennial by a month.
Oh, too.
Yeah. I'm an OG millennial. Yeah. I'm an old millennial.
Why she crazy as hell, too. But, so, my life lessons is, what I've learned is, I exerted a lot of energy fighting the wrong battles. And then when it came time to fight the battles that mattered, I was tired. So in life, I feel like you really have to, pick and choose your battles. And you don't have to win every battle to win the war. You have to be very clear on that. So I might have, when I was younger, I fought to keep certain people in my life, to keep certain relationships alive, to keep certain things going that really, despite my fight, were removed eventually and left me exhausted and drained. But what was for me never left, or what was for me always came back. So I never had to fight that hard for those things. But when it came time to fight for situations where I needed to fight, like for myself or my financial freedom, not having a 9-to-5 or doing X, Y, and Z, I had no energy left to fight those type of fights because I was so busy. My ass was out here boxing like Mike to fight shit I didn't need to fight. I just didn't need to fight it. It wasn't my battle to fight. Some things you got to give up. You got to let it go and see how they play out. So my advice would be to genuinely reflect on situations and look, do I need to be fighting this battle? Do I need to keep this guy in my life? Do I need to keep this position or this job? Do I need to go this direction? Like, do you need these things? The things that you get up and you put your heart and soul into, are they things that really are taking you where you want to go? Now, the key to that is you got to know where you want to go. Okay? Because if you don't know where you're going, somebody going to take you somewhere. Trust me. So you got to know that. Okay? So that is my advice. Pick and choose your battle and be wise about how you use your energy and where you exert your energy. All right. Who's ready? Tiff, you ready?
Sure. I'll piggyback off of that. I think that's a great lesson. But along the lines of, I think sometimes we are steered to and we are geared to do things that people tell us we should do in life. You should do this. You should graduate from college and you should get a job and you should do this and you should get that. You should be married by before you're 30. And make sure you have kids before then. Okay. So to that, I would say, do not subscribe to the shoulds and the should nots of life. You get to define your own life and you get to make it how beautiful and how wonderful you want it to be. You don't have to box yourself in. So I would say dream big, dream for yourself, and ignore what you should be doing and what you should not be doing. I think you need to listen to your gut and intuitively and instinctively follow your own path.
Yeah, that's awesome. Shout out to her therapist, Miss Mace.
I cannot believe you said that.
I mean, she's it's wonderful growth. All right. Who's up? Theater area. Which one?
I was just going to piggyback a little bit.
Okay, go ahead.
well, off some things you guys said that kind of caught my ear. Mm-hmm. For one, therapists. Right. No, I really like, I'm starting to see, and it's something that became like a view of mine recently, that they're it's important mm-hmm. for everybody, I feel like, to have someone to go to. And it's not really easy to talk to friends and family, mm-hmm. you know, as openly as you would a stranger, because, you know, you don't have to worry about that person judging you because mm-hmm. you don't care. Mm-hmm. So I feel like therapy should be something that everybody should experience at least once
yeah.
in their life. And as far as life lessons, I'm only 20, so I have a lot.
I got one life lesson. I'm going to tell you. Go ahead,
Harriet. I'm still learning them right uh-huh. now. Like, it's a lot of things about my personality and, like, a lot of things I'm very stubborn on that I want to get out of the mm-hmm. habit of doing and believing. For one, like, living freely and, like, following my dream when I don't really know fully what that dream is yet.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And, you know, the reason why I feel like I'm in college is because I'm supposed to be, which is the thing that you guys were just advising mm-hmm. me against. But mm-hmm. I don't know where I want to go yet, but I think I just I'm just going to feel it out and mm-hmm. trusting my instincts is something that I haven't always done. So I'm going to continue like to try to do that. And like, people may have an issue with the way I am, like certain things, like I may not be the person who's always as prompt and on time. I'm not right. even gonna say, 'cause you can deal with, like, I know the people who are going to be there for me who can deal with it, they will deal with it mm-hmm. and I'll keep trying to get better, but they can deal with my imperfections, and mm-hmm. the people who can't, they're not meant to be in my life mm-hmm. and I just know that.
That's awesome. Yeah. You know what, I want to chime in on two things you said that were very important, because you said you didn't have life lessons, but you had two. First and foremost, for people of color, the stigma around therapy I think needs to be removed.
Amen.
Yeah. We always talk about how crazy as hell we are. But at the same time, they're, oh, you're not in therapy. Are you? Here we go. There's a correlation. I'm not going to draw it for you. Draw it for yourself. But there needs to, that stigma needs to be removed from that. And the second thing is what I will tell you is, no, you shouldn't follow the shoulds in life at all. I agree with that. But what I will say about college and higher education, until you figure out what your dream is, that is a good path to be on.
Yes.
Now, when you figure out what that dream is and you know it in your spirit, your soul, what that is, if it takes you down a different path, I support you 100%. But there, idle time is the devil's play shop. So while you're figuring that out, this is a prime place for you to be right. to kind of discover yourself and take yourself to another level. So
very well said.
Thank you very much. Sydney. Sydney A, what's up? What's your life lesson? I know you got some.
Go ahead. What life lessons would you say that I have?
Don't give her free mic.
Don't do it.
You define your own story. You define your own story.
I'm coming up with blanks here. I was just going to go back to the therapy thing, but like,
you don't want her to call you out on the mic.
You have learned over at least the last year something about men.
What about me?
That they try not.
Right, but they're garbage. No, not garbage. I tell her this, they're not
trash.
Garbage.
Men are meant to be used.
If they're garbage,
right. For their money.
Oh, no.
Clearly, I cannot thank Sydney's therapist. So, no, what it is that your, if men are garbage, then that is your perspective of men because of the men that you've selected. So what does that say? What is your lesson about your selection of men?
Okay, well, I guess the lesson about my selection in men is that I probably need to
work on
something within myself. Okay, we have 4 minutes, so trying to wrap it up. But yeah, I guess my selection of men is kind of based on like things that I need to work on within myself, like how maybe I view myself, or I don't know, how I carry myself. Just things within yourself that you might need to work on when dating.
Whatever you give off is what you attract.
Right.
We're going to say that. So, I mean, the thing about it is, when you look at men, or you look at jobs, or you look at relationships, it's always a reflection of how you feel about yourself or your relationship. I'm quoting Ayana, beloved.
I stand Ayana.
But I'm just saying, everything in your life is a reflection of your relationship with yourself. So the lesson in that, Sydney, is that you always have to look at the relationship with yourself before you judge an outside relationship.
Right.
Okay, because if that's 100, then the outside relationships will look more so like mm-hmm. they need to look. So I want to thank all of you ladies for sharing your life lessons, for discussing hot topics, for hanging out with me today, for having these discussions and being so open and candid. And I want to thank everybody that's listening for tuning in and joining us. And we genuinely hope that when we come back, that you join us again. Have a great week and be blessed. Thanks.